Today I want to talk about transforming delusion. First thing I want to say is that what I have to say is limited. It's limited by who I am and what I've experienced in my life, my perspective, and I feel that acutely. I feel acutely my limitations and my perspective. So I also feel acutely the need for all of us to speak the truth that we see and stumble along together to try and transform our world. Dogen Senji says, "I can only see as far as my eye of practice can reach." And if we pay attention, we see that often that's not very far. And we need each other to see clearly. So, this call to examine delusion has been very powerful in the last week or so. The powerful delusions that undergird and shape our world have been brought to the surface quite clearly and acutely. Mr. George Floyd was actively killed by one person and abetted by others. But we also know that this terrible event is inextricably a part of a wider reality. We know the disproportionate way that coronavirus has negatively and powerfully impacted people of color in every way we can think of. It is appalling what is happening, and it is not new. It's not new. We know it's not new. Holly sent Shinshu and I a piece of writing by Larry Ward, an African-American Buddhist teacher, from a book he is publishing called America's Racial Karma, and I'd like to read a paragraph to you. He says, "Dear friends, the fires of grief are burning all around us and within us. It is a continuation of the retribution of America's racial karma. This 500-year legacy of tragedy has not escaped me. I found a great phrase from Oscar Wilde that I adapted." So I don't know what the original phrase was. I only have Teacher Ward's interpretation of it. He says, "We live in the land of sorrow. Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground. We live in the land of sorrow. Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground." And Teacher Ward goes on, "We must understand our sorrow as divine energy and not simply as a political error. We must understand our suffering profoundly. The gate of ancestral grief is being flooded in all of us." He goes on to point out the trauma of this, the pain of 500 years of our karma, the anger, frustration, and exhaustion, and the need to practice deeply. Racism, privilege, injustice, ignorance, these are delusions. And the very real pain they cause, these delusions and the pain, are not and have not been hidden to the people who have to live with their corrosive impact every single day. But for others, not confronted with them in the same direct way, it is so very easy not to see or glimpse and turn away, easy to make excuses, to leave addressing these delusions to the people who live with their direct and profound impact, to ignore and hide from reality. But for Dharma practitioners, this is not an option. Our lives are about engaging in our world in a way that eases suffering. We are taught that we are this world, not apart from it. This means that we do not turn away. Instead, we turn towards reality. We turn towards the Dharma for support and guidance in how we face what is real, how to be in it, and how to heal and transform. We start with the question, what has the Dharma to teach us in this circumstance? And we answer, it has a lot to teach us. We must fearlessly invite the teachings into our minds and hearts, into our lives, our relationships, our choices. And we listen. Perhaps that is most important. We listen to the Dharma. We listen to ourselves. We listen to others with an open and deeply respectful mind, well grounded in our intention. We live the Bodhisattva way. We listen and we're touched. Shinshu, could you help me? The gallery view is still on, and I think it might be helpful for people just to be able to...
Sorry, guys.
Is that better? Can you... Steve, give me a thumbs up if it's yes. Okay, great. Thank you. So let's get back to this. The Buddha, when he sat down under the Bo tree and committed to waking up, was assailed by Mara, the force of delusion. Mara can be like a hurricane. That's often the way it's described, like an onslaught. But it can also... Mara can also be insidious, like a sweet, gentle breeze that makes us want to go to sleep. Those of us that can nap through this. But Buddha held steady. He said, Mara, I see you as Mara. He was simple, direct, and unshakable. Buddha kept his mind open to all of reality. He was not swayed by the threats or charms of Mara. In our lives, we cultivate the capacity, the care, and the courage to do that, to see delusion, to say, Mara, I see you as Mara. Rock steady. Stay with reality. Delusion takes many forms. The power and pain of racism is heartbreaking, sometimes less remarked on as the reality that gender-based domestic violence in this pandemic has greatly increased. When I say these things, does anyone feel overwhelmed, hopeless, defeated? That's another delusion. We must repeat to ourselves, stay, stay. The truth of the Dharma is far greater than our overwhelm and defeat. And I believe it was Representative Lewis that said, basically, hopeless and defeat, get over it. We don't have time for hopeless and defeat. If we gave up, we would have given up hundreds of years ago. So we listen to the Dharma, we trust the Dharma, and we encourage ourselves. Larry Ward reminds us that we should recall the mighty ones of old. We should know ourselves to be creatures of this earth, sustain ourselves by spending time outdoors and by singing and dancing, being creative, being alive in our world. He reminds us to listen to our ancestors and to return to ourselves in a fuller way. With this as our ground, we consider how to respond in this time, and there are many answers. We can march with others. We can speak up when we encounter deluded speech and actions, sexist, racist, trans, homophobia, whatever it is, whatever form delusion takes. We can educate ourselves about systemic power abuses and choose wisely where we spend our resources. We commit ourselves to growing in wisdom and compassion and humanity. We cultivate joy and nourishment in our lives and deep, deep connection. There are specific teachings that can help us with this, developing a sound understanding of the teachings of emptiness and no self. Understanding that we are quite real. To deny our reality, it denies the reality of the pain that is inflicted by actions based on delusion, and to disrespect people who experience it. And we are also mutable, dependently arisen and never apart from the causes and conditions, the culture and circumstances of our world, including the delusions. We face the fact that we can be and often are fooled by our assumptions. And we can benefit from models that tell us how to pay attention and break the cycle of perpetuating delusion. Two models come to mind: the 12-fold chain of causation that describes the way we whip around the wheel of delusion so fast we don't even notice it, and the model of consciousness found in the Yogacara. I had thought that I would begin to talk about these today, but I decided not to. The reason is because the first step is not to fill our minds with more models and ideas. It is to empty ourselves by cultivating the essential capacity to listen, deeply and quietly listen. If we enter an encounter with ourselves or others, with our minds filled with models and ideas, we may spend our time analyzing them, thinking about them, and not pay attention to what is actually happening. If we start with an intention to listen, pretty soon we come face to face with our limitations and a desire to clarify our minds and hearts grows in us. It becomes strong, even compelling. For those granted privilege by our culture, for whatever reason, the practice of listening is most important. When we adopt a posture of listening, we welcome people into speech, speech that transforms. Ehe Dogen says in the Ehe Kosoho Tsukoman, "We vow together with all beings from this life on throughout countless lives to not fail to hear the true Dharma." In other words, to hear the true Dharma. There's a lot we could say just about this line, but the key, I think, here is that we vow to listen. We vow to listen so that we might truly hear. We vow to listen, perhaps most acutely, to what is often not heard. What is the true Dharma? It is the voice of reality. Can you hear the voice of reality in the voices of the people taking to the streets? Is that your voice? Are you one more time trying to make your voice heard, ready to break from trying? Exhausted? Unseen? Or have you been a part of the dense denial that has left those voices unheeded for generations? Or some mix of all of it? And can we listen for those who are silent not from choice, but from opposing forces. All of this is a part of the sound of the true Dharma. To listen is an act of intention. It is an act of generosity, of giving. To listen is to attend, to give one's time, one's respect, one's care to others and to oneself, so that we might hear what is real. We listen with our ears, our minds, our hearts, our entire body. We listen to return to harmony with reality. And this is not harmony in one note. This can be quite dissonant. True listening requires that we drop preconceived ideas and allow what is present to come forward. And it may be very discordant. This kind of listening requires courage and confidence. The courage of the bodhisattva who is fearless. And we give fearlessness to ourselves and we give fearlessness to others by not turning away. We stay present for what is happening, its complexity, its contradictions, its awkwardness, its fullness, and its pain. I've spoken before of Kito-sensei, Polarized teacher, who describes this as Fudo heart. Fudo is fierce and fiery figure of absolute unshakable capacity for compassion in every single moment. Unshakable. Undaunted. Not turning away. Kito-sensei notes, an accepting heart is fearless. This is not passive. It is vast and active and creative, and it is absolutely essential now. And when I wrote this, I thought of the mayor of Washington, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name right now, who approved painting Black Lives Matter in gigantic letters on the street in front of the White House. And I thought, what a creative, fearless, stable response. This is the posture of Kenon, the bodhisattva of compassion, who is able to pierce through the fog of delusion, hear the cries of the world, and respond clearly and effectively. This is what we're called to do as individuals and as a society. When we listen in this creative way, this responsive way, we come to know what it is to be fully present, fully reality as it is in all of its diversity, complexity, difficulties. Confidence builds, not in answers, but in our ability to listen and act with others. We give dignity to reality in this way, to ourselves and others, when we truly listen. We do not need to colonize or define. This is the spirit of the bodhisattva way, described by Dogen. He tells us to practice generosity and kindness to all beings. He states that we should act to benefit all sentient beings without expectation of reward and without exception. Knowing that such an action is an act of oneness, benefiting all beings together. Listening with this spirit recalls the one who listens and the one who is listened to a realization of shared life. To hear is a physical act. Sound waves impinge upon the small bones in our ear, which vibrate, and from this our brains interpret sounds and build definitions in reality. But the entire process starts with the quivering of tiny bones. When we attend, when we truly hear another, we become intertwined, physically intertwined. When we listen and are heard with respect, we are recalled into a depth of relationship. In this way, the art of listening is the art of healing. When we hear another, and when we speak honestly and know that we can be heard, we join in an intimate relationship. Listening and speaking, expressing and receiving go together. To be listened to be heard, brings with it a felt sense of not being alone, of being respected, of one's life and one's experience being recognized as an interrelated, essential, and worthy part of our existence. To be seen in this way and to see in this way changes our world. And the world, as we can see so clearly, needs to change. This is not an easy or often nice event. Hard truths must be spoken and heard. Hard realities must be faced. What needs to be spoken may not come out in tidy or genteel ways. Hard truths are rarely tidy or genteel. But if we turn away from the ancient rage, the consequences of oppression and injustice, we are not enacting the Buddha way. Especially in Zen, we have a history of outrageousness, rawness, the power of upending expectations. We need not be afraid of that, nor do we need to confuse it with an expression with toxicity or true violence. We can sit as Fudo and Kanon. We can see, hear, taste reality and are changed by it. This is not necessarily, as I say, a nice process. But as one of my teachers is, we don't want to engage in the tyranny of niceness. It is a deeply compassionate one. We are aware of any need to reach a false harmony by eliminating difference and a sense of dissonance. We cultivate the ability to rest in ambiguity and the unease that can arise when things are unsettled, when our worlds don't match, when our experience has been so different that difference seems unsurmountable. The desire to erase difference, either by attempting to eliminate it or by pretending it does not exist, can be strong, particularly when faced with a difference that requires us to face the hard truths that we're being asked to face now. And we have been asked to face over and over and over again. This is the Saha world. We have to face delusion. To listen across differences, we call on Fudo's heart, the ability to stay settled and undeterred by apparent obstacles to compassion. We return to the core virtues of honesty, generosity, fearlessness, and kindness. We return to our understanding of the interrelated nature of existence, the equality as well as the particularity of all being. We cultivate the posture of dignity for ourselves and others. We trust that these kinds of encounters will challenge us, open us, and we will grow in confidence. As we learn to trust, we can recognize difference without the need for fear. We can cultivate the generosity, courage, fearlessness, and confidence that supports the development of genuine listening and speaking, the courage to speak. This cannot be forgotten. We call ourselves to hear the true Dharma and to express the true Dharma in each moment, We understand that all being is doing this. And this is one way in which we heal our world. And it is one way that we, as Dharma practitioners, live what we are called to live. So I encourage all of us to listen and to speak, to be challenged and to be transformed and to bring healing. Thank you.